for 11-10 video games hot dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for Video Games Hot Dog, episode number 29. How you guys been? What's going on? What's happening in our new, we got a new recording cave here. We got towels on the walls.
Blankets all nailed up everywhere.
Yeah, we try to make it look as much like either a fort that you'd make out of blankets or a little, like a girl's room, maybe.
Huh. Is this what little, I didn't know any girls when I was younger, so I don't know what the rooms look like.
They'd have like, stuff hanging from the ceiling.
Princess posters and.
Well,
maybe later on, like a dildo carelessly left on the bathroom counter or something.
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay. Where's the dildo in here?
I don't know. It's been carelessly laid aside.
Okay. It's in the bathroom where we're cleaning it.
Yeah.
What have you guys been up to? Anything interesting?
It's been a slow week.
Yeah. There's like a little independent theater a couple streets away from here that does an anime night on Thursdays. I went to the last one of those.
What did they show?
They showed the first episode from a thing, I think it was called Something Zero, maybe Project Zero. Which,
Something One Half.
Yeah, which I guess it was like a prequel to another series, and it's about dudes in modern day who are also magicians, and they get chosen to be in some tournament to win the Holy Grail or something. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, that sounds.
And then so they showed one episode of that, and then the first three episodes of the anime based on the video game Persona 4.
So it's a dating sim anime.
Wasn't Persona 4 based on manga?
I don't think so.
So were they magicians like Ricky Jay and David Copperfield?
No, more like...
So it's a contest to see how many women you can rape on your private island.
How many women you can saw in half in one go. Yeah.
How many rings you can link without anybody noticing that all those rings were linked to begin with. How long of a chain can you convince people is rings? That's what I would do if I were a magician contest organizer.
How many of your balls can you fit under cups?
Okay. Depends on how you're laying. Like, if you're doing the male version of that where you eat sushi off of a naked guy, how many of your balls can you hide under a slab of salmon?
I mean, given a sufficiently large slab of salmon, you'd think you could hide all your balls under it.
Given a sufficiently large slab of salmon, it would be indistinguishable from magic.
What about you, Kevin?
I've been watching a lot of movies, a lot of documentaries lately.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Hands on a Hard Body?
Well, I mean, that is a documentary. That is not one that I watched recently.
Hand Jobs and Hard-Ons?
Have you seen
That's about those sex LARPers.
Have you seen Hands on a Hard Body?
I haven't.
You should watch it. It's pretty good.
Okay.
I watched...
Does it have a kid who's wondering whether or not he sounds like a musical robot?
No, it doesn't.
Then I don't think I'm going to be interested in that.
Is that the only documentary you've ever liked?
Does it have... Yeah. Because anything... Does it have a French man trying to pole vault across the Empire State Building?
No. Okay. That's also not a real documentary.
Well, no. Not yet. Those French are tricksy.
Client 9.
What they'll get up to.
The Rise and Fall of Elliot Spitzer, which was pretty good.
Okay. Did it have an interview with that hot lady that he banged?
Well, there is like the sort of well-known girl that he had a single encounter with, and then there was the actual lady that like he was seeing regularly who was not on film, but...
I thought you were going to say she was not on fire.
She was not on fire. No two prostitutes are not on fire.
Did he have sex with Olajuwon?
No.
Because I hear Olajuwon is on fire a lot of the time. At least that's what I heard while I was playing Mortal Kombat 2 in the arcades in high school. The NBA Jam cabinet next door. In the other arcade that was next door.
It was interesting. I mean, it was a little bit... It was painting the possibility that there was a bit of a conspiracy to get his...
Goat.
Get his goat, yep.
What does that mean? What does it mean to get one's goat?
I
thought it just meant to like get under somebody's skin to irritate them.
Okay.
So there was a conspiracy to annoy him by making him lose his job and entire career and all of his money.
I don't know if he lost all his money. He definitely
did. He lose his ability to bang super hot chicks?
He probably is not going to continue to have sex with prostitutes.
You don't think? I would think that once you've lost your job, what else do you have to lose?
Well,
your lack of AIDS.
Family. You've got your family.
I mean, I don't know about you
if
guys,
you
but my
job,
lack of AIDS is one of my most prized possessions.
You can't afford these prostitutes because they were like $2,000 an hour.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends. You could find another job. You can find a job that pays you $2,500 an hour that only takes 59 minutes an hour. So then you have an entire minute to have sex with a high-class prostitute. And it's like you're making $500 an hour, which is a lot. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Guy's got options, is
if,
what I'm
well,
saying.
If you could also be a prostitute, you could just charge more for your time.
Oh, yeah. You could each you could charge each other $2,000.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what they do at prostitute conventions.
Maybe.
Yeah. You can go up or down a notch, depending on whether you want to make money or lose money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people just go there to break even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I watched the Harold and Kumar Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah, in 3D.
Yeah. A lot of dicks. A lot of dudes
wow,
smoking
3D
weed.
3D dicks.
3D dicks.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
A lot of there were some lesbian naked nuns making out in a shower.
How do you know that they were nuns?
Also
if they're
in 3D,
naked?
They had habits on and nothing else.
Okay, so and they're not naked.
They had, I was going to say swastikas tattooed near their vaginas, but what I meant was crucifixes.
Huh.
I always get those things mixed up. What's the things? The stations of the swastika that they go through around Christmas?
Yeah.
Is that even a Christmas thing? I don't know if that's
no.
Is the stations of the cross a Christmas thing? Christians are Christmas. For a Christian, every day is Christmas.
Yes. Well, every day that you get presents.
Jesus was always born.
Yeah.
Time is not linear for him. Every day is Christmas. I read a book.
Yeah.
I read MASH since the last show.
Really?
Yeah. It
is
had been
that based on the movie or the movie based on
the
movie?
The movie's based on the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the TV show is based on the movie.
Robert Altman made the movie. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And the only person in common between the movie and the TV show was Radar O'Reilly.
Really?
Played by Pete Postlethwaite.
Oh. Huh.
That wasn't actually Pete Postlethwaite. Oh.
He would have
been pretty good.
Didn't Alan Alda have nothing to do with the movie? Yeah. Yeah, he didn't have anything to do with it.
None of the guys on the show had anything to do with the movie.
Huh.
Alan, you're thinking of Alan Rickman.
No.
Okay.
I'm not.
There was Elliot Gould in the movie. There was Tom Skerritt, who went on to also be Aliens. Lance Henriksen was not, I believe, in the movie. There was a man who was a dentist. Lance Henriksen was in the book, which was weird.
That is odd.
Yeah, there's a part where there's just half a dude, and they're like, we're human surgeons. We don't know what to do with all these pipes filled with brownish ooze.
Was it Catch-22-y, or was it just kind of more a straight-up comedy? Was it...
It was like a screenplay for the movie MASH.
Wow.
Yeah, It was like just chapter for chapter, I feel like, was scene for scene in the movie.
Huh.
And it was just about... It was weird, like, all of the references to, like, sex or anything were pretty oblique. They regularly used the word stoned to mean drunk.
Really?
Yeah, and
that's
kind
of confusing.
When I learned the word stoned, I learned it as a synonym for drunk.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, and I was always made fun of for incorrectly using the word stoned because I used it as a synonym for drunk, like blitzed or blasted or bashed or smashed or sozzled or twizzled.
I think
or
blitzed,
twinkled.
Blitzed wasted. has just been, yeah, wasted can mean either, blitzed can mean either, I think.
Cronk.
Crunk.
I sometimes drink several beers and get super, super high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is odd.
Sometimes I have so much whiskey that I'm tripping balls.
Do you think that stoned originally started as a thing about being drunk and transmogrified?
I don't know. I mean, this book was written in the 50s, and I don't think marijuana was invented until Woodstock.
That's possible.
That's when they discovered it growing in that farmer's field, and
that's why
Woodstock was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also, that was the first time anyone had ever used a blanket.
Hmm. Yeah. Do you think in the Peanuts cartoon that Woodstock is actually just a
figment of Snoopy's stoned imagination,
drug-induced
hallucination?
Yeah,
it's from all the PCP.
Yeah,
maybe Snoopy is actually his cousin from Arizona, and the cactus that he lives near is actually a PCP cactus. What do they call those?
Peyote.
Yeah, peyoctus.
Peyoctus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe Snoopy doesn't even exist. Maybe none of the characters in Peanuts exist. Maybe they are all just when Clem or whatever,
that's
what's that
why,
guy's name?
That is why Charlie Brown can never kick the fucking football, because there is no football.
Yeah. Oh. He needs to kick himself.
Wow. It's deep.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everything is falling into place.
You have to eat the red button from the cactus.
Yeah.
To really know what's going on. Yeah. Like, what is that guy's name?
Red Buttons?
Cousin Joe. Yeah, Red Buttons. Red Skelton.
Agent
yeah.
Smith.
No, the Snoopy's
Dozer.
Snoopy's Old West is Needles, is his name?
I think so.
Snoopy's Old West.
Oh, wow.
Spike.
Yeah, Spike.
That's right.
Oh, is it really Spike?
It is Spike.
Wow, you were pretty close with Spike. Needles.
I was close.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I've been doing.
Is reading Snoopy.
Yes, just reading a treasury of peanuts.
Charles Schulz.
The collected work of Chuck Schlutz. You guys been playing any video games?
Yeah, I played 4 games since the last show.
And they are all World of Warcraft.
They were all four games of Binding of Isaac.
Well, I'll get to that. So two of them I played on the iPad. I played Fantasy Flight Games, the board game company, came out with an iPad version of their dice game.
Elder Scrolls.
Elder Signs.
Yes, of Elder Scrolls.
Yes.
TM. Fantasy Flight Games.
Which is, it's sort of like if you crossed Arkham Horror with Yahtzee.
Yeah, what's weird is in the iOS version, they've gotten rid of, they're not dice that you're rolling. Nowhere does it say anything about dice. They're glyphs that you're summoning.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, I didn't go through all the tutorials because I'm already familiar with how the game works, but I have to imagine somewhere in there it tells you what the odds are of getting any particular glyph on a different die.
I don't know if it does.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Is it just recreating the die?
It is.
Yeah.
It's definitely recreating the dice. Although the structure of the game is slightly different, I think. Like they've simplified it a little bit.
Yeah, they've simplified it a little bit and then made up for that by making it slightly harder.
Huh.
The midnight events got harder than in the physical game.
Do you feel like these iPad style games are blurring the line between board game and video game?
Potentially.
I mean, no.
Why not?
Well, because a board game is a game with a board. And a video game is a video game, right? Like,
okay. Was Riff playing a video game or a board game?
Riff was playing a video game that was a video game version of a board game, I think, right? I mean, it's...
So what happens with an iPad that you put down on a table and everybody sits around and plays?
That actually becomes sports.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's really beautiful. The whatever guys they found to do the iPad version of it really know their visual design and all that stuff, because it's gorgeous looking. That's going to be probably in the future what I point to as an example of an excellent board game to iPad translation.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, the small world port to the iPad was pretty good. Like, that's the thing, like having the same rules as a board game does not make it not a video game, right? Because you can make a video game that's a simulation of a board game and not have made a real board game, right?
I mean, there have been Risk clones in video games a lot. I mean, like, you know, there are definitely games that are well served by being on a computer because they do a bunch of math for you, right?
But I would say that if you play Risk on a computer, you're not playing a board game.
Okay.
I want an iOS port of Arkham Horror.
Yeah.
Because that really is, like, that board game is like a video game because there's a sort of AI that you have to go through the motions of to control the way monsters move around and stuff. And it's like, I don't know. I've yet to beat Elder Sign, but I've only played two games.
I've played two games physically and two games on the iPad, and one and lost one in both categories.
You can play. Are you playing as just one character?
In which? On the iPad?
Yeah.
No, I've been picking a group of four guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've just been playing it as one single character. Because I feel like it's meant for you to pass it around. The one problem I have with that game is that it's really, like, the transitions between screens and stuff are really slow. And you just want...
It does take
just,
a little,
like,
bit of
come on,
learning, yeah.
I just want to get this over with.
I am also a little saddened, although I completely understand why they did it, that in the physical game, you draw from a random deck of cards to determine what Elder God you're facing, whereas in the iPad version, it's just always Azathoth.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There, maybe there'll be an in-app purchase.
Possibly.
You can purchase Cthulhu.
I mean, it makes sense that they did it because Azathoth is the only one in the physical game where if he is summoned, the game is just automatically over. Hmm. Whereas all the others, if he is summoned, then you go to sort of a new, different game mode where you're fighting him.
I see.
And it makes sense that maybe they didn't want to spend the extra time to do that, but I'm hopeful
that they don't say in any of the tutorial stuff that you're trying to stop Azathoth. They're saying that you're trying to stop your nemesis, Elder God.
I feel like it was mentioned in the one thing I saw that may have specifically. I feel like there's something I saw somewhere that commented on what some of the differences were between the physical game and the iPad version. Mm. And it was mentioned in that.
I wish Fantasy Flight could make a fucking straightforward game sometimes.
Yeah.
I bet they'd be good at it.
What's with the resurgence of Yahtzee? Like,
has there been?
Well, so there's the Yahtzee game there. There's the Yahtzee
I feel like
mechanics.
Dice is the new deck building right now in circles. There's Quarriers. There's King of Tokyo, which is actually really fun.
Yeah, it is.
I changed my tune on that.
Oh, wait. Did you think it wasn't?
When I watched a review of it, I decided not to buy it.
Oh,
and then I don't remember, but then I bought it.
Oh, yeah. You saw Richard Garfield talk, and then
no, I saw Richard Garfield talk about it. I was like, I'm going to buy that, and then I saw a review of it, and I was like, I'm not going to buy that. And then I went to a store, and I was like, I bought that.
Yeah,
apparently because
I have played probably 10 games of that in the past month, and there have been a bunch of really close games as we play it more and more often. Like I feel like we're getting better at.
The review didn't make clear. The review did not mention the cards, which are the entirety of what makes gameplay interesting instead of just like competitive, fast Yahtzee.
Hmm.
All right, second game, Riff.
The other iPad game I played was Aquaria,
which
is. Is that like Terraria, but in water?
It is a Metroidvania. It's like a very mellow. Ambient-ish Metroidvania. It's all set underwater. You're a mermaid exploring caverns and ancient underwater ruins. The writing's a little overwrought and a little bit pretentious, but it's not too bad. I thought at first it was going to be kind of hippie-ish, because at the beginning you can't even attack. You start out with like a shield spell and that's it. But you do eventually, shortly before you face the first boss, you get the ability to shoot mind bullets. So from there, it becomes more of a.
I think I played to the point where you get to shoot the mind bullets, and then I stopped.
It's I'm enjoying it, and it is surprisingly large. Like that first area that you're in before you fight the first boss is relatively compact, but once you get past that, everything opens up hugely. I was like, the first little map area you go to after that is about the size of everything you've seen before in terms of the space it takes up on your map screen. And then I went off the edge of that, and there was another hunk of map the same size again, and then another one and another one, and it just keeps going, and it's so fucking huge. It amazes me.
Does it not intimidate you and make you not want to play it? Because I feel like it would intimidate me and make me not want
to
play it.
I've been enjoying it. It's
there's got to be some fast travel that you get there to eventually.
Is.
Like I found the moving around. Like I only got to the point where you learn the mind bullets or you become able to turn into the fire version of the mermaid or whatever, like a fire mermaid
underwater.
Yeah.
Huh.
That was like, you know, for swimming in
phosphorus.
Like a lava
phosphorus
mermaid.
Phosphorus maid.
You know, like in the olden days when the lava sailors would say, oh, what's that? Yeah. What's that? That I kind of want to fuck that lava. They're like, they make up some stories instead of just admitting to that guy's wife that he's gone fucking crazy from the volcano fumes. They're like, no, there was a lady in there.
The lady. It totally wasn't a lava manatee.
Was her complexion really clear? From all the lava cows that she'd been milking?
I don't... What?
What?
You don't know
milkmaids
about the milkmaid's
clear
complexion?
Because of the milking.
Yeah.
I know.
Do you not know about that?
Nope.
So, before vaccinations were a thing, milkmaids didn't ever get, like...
Oh, because of the antibiotics they gave to the cows.
I was thinking of something else when you said clear, and that didn't make any sense to
me. Yeah, their skin was clear.
Like translucent.
Yeah.
Like you could see their face muscles and bones.
No, but before vaccinations were a thing, milkmaids didn't get
Smallpox.
And the reason was because they would get an immunity to it because the cowpox was close enough to the humans, the human smallpox, that it would give humans resistance to it if they were exposed to it long enough. And that's why it's called vaccination, because vaca in Latin means cow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. See, you're learning stuff.
Learned something new today.
Yeah. Were they also resistant to small pies because of the cow pies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why mini pies took so many years to develop. Is all the built-in resistance.
Yeah. Most people would eat them and just nothing would happen.
Exactly.
Be like, what was that? No, that didn't do anything to me. I built up an immunity.
Yeah. But now that so many people don't live on farms, we have small pies again.
Okay. So two non-iPad games you've been playing.
That was Aquarius. I'm enjoying it. It's really beautiful. It's pretty fun. Two non-iPad games I played. I started out, one of our friends started playing City of Heroes because of it being free now, and he was looking for some people to play with. So I played a bunch of that over the weekend.
What kind of a man did you make?
I made a, I forget what the class is called. It's like a striker or something. I've got like an assassin-looking lady that has two swords.
Huh.
But
when I played City of Heroes, I was able to make a fairly convincing mime. With
the editor
with
is
guns.
pretty interesting, the character designer.
Even back then, I mean, I imagine they've added more stuff to it since then. But I decided to actually roll. That was the only time I ever actually role played in an MMO.
Was when you didn't have to say anything.
No, I like emoted all the time in groups because I actually went out of my way to play group content as the mime, but like, you know, gestures to his lonely self. Looks like he wants to join your group. Like, just didn't actually directly talk
that's
to anybody.
That's kind of awesome.
And I would shoot dudes. It kept me occupied for a few days.
But yeah, I played some of it, and I was just like, you know, this looks okay, but it doesn't look as good as World of Warcraft, and the combat is all right, but not as good as World of Warcraft, and the quests are really repetitive and boring, and the story is not very interesting, and the environments that
I haven't had the opportunity to eat some poop and then poop it back out for the next guy to eat.
There is that.
I miss World of Warcraft.
Yeah, yeah. But so I was thinking that, and then Blizzard sent me an email saying, hey, how about we give you 14 free days of World of Warcraft? So it's like, oh, you bastards. Okay.
You know, if you sign up for a year, they'll give you Diablo 3 for free.
I went and looked at that, but I didn't see an option to sign up for a year. The largest they offered was 6 months. So I don't know.
That's
how
not
that
where
works.
You wanted to. You were in the wrong place.
Oh, was that?
Yeah. I think for a while, it was just on the front page of Blizzard.com.
Hmm. But yeah, so I started.
So now
up,
you're in a level 11
I started up Warcraft and logged on to my two old characters, which is the rogue that I played to the level cap and did some raiding with, and the feral druid that I did all my old dungeon soloing
the
with.
The Will Ferrell druid.
Yeah. She's an elf, you know. Gotcha. I didn't get it.
Did they refer to you as the anchor man because you were the real crux of the group?
Yes. And also they threw me in the water a lot. So I looked at
those. Did you play with your stepbrothers?
I looked at those characters and could not remember a single.
Thinking of the other guys.
Yeah. Could not remember a single thing about how any of the abilities worked or what any of the crap in my inventory was for.
Talladega Nights.
So I decided to start a new character and wanted to do a druid again because I was thinking maybe eventually I could level up and you know, solo old dungeons again like I like to do. And figured if I was going to do druid again,
a second druid.
I didn't want to do an elf again. If I was going to do a druid again, I figured I should play a worgen druid so I could see that new stuff. Can't play a worgen, and you can't see the new archaeology stuff, which I also thought was really interesting sounding, unless you buy Cataclysm.
It's boring as shit.
So I bought Cataclysm. Is it really boring?
Yeah, the archaeology is boring as shit.
Cataclysm?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bot Cataclysm.
Oh my God. You're so sucked in.
Yeah.
Fired is the end of that sentence.
Buying Cataclysm, does that give you like a month free or something? Or
I don't know. I didn't look.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Wow, you could buy the game and not be able to log in?
Yes, I think so. But you could buy an expansion to the game and not be able to log in.
But, you know, as long as I am making the rule for myself that I'm not going to play it unless I've done a reasonable amount of work that day and also absolutely cannot think of anything better to do. So it's just going to be...
There's always exercise, Riff. There's always exercise, which is always better.
What happens if you buy the game and Cataclysm, but not middle stuff?
Well...
Maybe you can't.
That's got to be... Someone has got to have done that.
I don't know, buddy.
I don't know.
We should ask. Maybe you just can't level from 80 to 85. You can't level from 70 to 80, rather.
Yeah, because it comes with...
60 to 80.
Burning Crusade now.
It comes with Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe it also comes with Wrath. Maybe you can't buy it without...
Okay.
I don't know.
I could see that. Because that's problematic otherwise, potentially.
Maybe Cataclysm includes all previous expansions.
What have you been playing?
Wait, Riff isn't done. Oh, the City of Heroes and WoW?
City of Heroes and WoW, yeah.
That was, I was paying attention and then trying to do a smooth segue.
Did you say anything about City of Heroes other than that it was boring?
It was comparing it to World of Warcraft.
Comparing it to World of Warcraft, it is not as good. Yeah.
Wait until you try archaeology. Then you will realize how much more exciting everything is than archaeology.
Although archaeology is more exciting than fishing, probably.
Yeah. I don't know. At least the stuff you fish, you can eat.
At least the stuff, when you're archaeologing, you're like triangulating.
Sort of, yeah.
Right.
You're spending a lot of time moving between places on the map.
Yeah.
I certainly would not want to deal with archaeology without being able to fly.
Yeah.
In the old world.
A fast flying map. Just,
yeah. And especially not having the flight paths and stuff, of which there are like a billion compared to what there used to be.
Really?
They increased the density of flight paths by a lot.
It's a lot easier now that the world is actually
I guess they started giving you, every time you pick a flower, you get as much XP as you would get from killing a dude of your level.
Yep.
So I was leveling crazy fast.
Yep. You get up to where you can start using the dungeon finder, and you'll just start an instance with a random group of people and then be done with it and three levels higher than you were when you went in.
Man.
And get a bunch of gear and stuff. Yeah, it's nuts.
That's, hopefully it won't take long to churn through Burning Crusade then.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know. Yeah, it sucks.
Are you seriously going to go that high?
I would like to get back to the level cap and
why don't
and
you just
get...
play your level clap druid?
Because I don't remember how any of it works.
Yeah. Just spend half an hour learning how your skills work instead of 6 weeks learning them all again real slow.
I also want to do the new quest content
in
the
old world. Class. Jesus, what is the
I
matter
like
with
this
you?
Class.
Oh, God.
It's the awesomest soloing class.
I don't know about that.
I don't think that's true anymore. I played Batman for a while.
Yeah, Arkham Village.
Arkham Village, Super Arkham Galaxy. It was okay. It was, you know, more of the same kind of stuff from Arkham City. I mostly did side missions. I did some diving through augmented reality bat holes.
What?
What? there were this training missions that you had to do in order to qualify for your own gear that you own. Somehow, you had to demonstrate that you were capable of using the prototype grapnel boost. So you like glide around off of buildings, moving from one place to another, trying to find the phone that is ringing. There's some of that. Zzzz calls you and says, "I'm gonna kill somebody if you don't answer this phone." He says, and then you got to find the phone. You go into detective mode and you get infinite phone radar. And then you have to get to the phone and answer it.
Why switch out of detective mode?
Mini game that, because it doesn't look very good when it's in detective
mode. That's the
mode.
Only disadvantage.
It's the only disadvantage, yeah. Which makes it really, yeah. I wish detective mode cost, like, energy. Like if you actually had to use a credit card to buy minutes of detective mode. So
I
then,
think you
like,
mean a bat credit card.
Okay, the bat card. there's a there's and then you, when you're talking to Zaz on the phone and he's like, let me tell you a story that's long enough for you to play this call tracing minigame. Only I didn't realize there was a minigame to be played the first time. So I just listened to the story and I'm like, oh, okay. So then
you'd listen to the same story again?
No, the story continues. I don't know. Because you can be better or worse at the game. And I'm demonstrating what happens when you're the worst possible. But moving around the city is pretty fun. And I'm really glad that I did the side missions that gave you this grapnel boost thing, because normally, like, you can glide, and then you can also shoot your bat hook up onto things, and then you pull it in and stick to where it's stuck, right?
Right.
But with the grapnel boost, you can hit a button while you're hurtling towards it to make it so you, like, skip it and kind of jump over it at the end, so then you can start gliding again from above where you are. So you sort of never have to touch the ground again if you're
careful. That was the... The sort of movement mechanic in that one game that I'm forgetting the name of that I saw.
Just Cause 2,
yeah.
Or no, that's was it. That it?
That was yeah. it, Just Cause 2.
The one where you were hitting helicopters with stuff.
Yeah, where you would like...
parachute.
You have a parachute, and then you would grapple along the ground.
Like, or if an eagle flew into your parachute and ripped it to shreds, and you were like, shit. I'm assuming, I didn't speak the language that guy spoke, but I'm assuming that he was saying shit.
Yeah.
So I played that bat game.
Yeah.
Not for very long, just for like an hour.
Okay.
I don't remember anything else that I played. I played a Facebook game. It wasn't a Facebook game. It was a Google Plus game. But it didn't have any reason to be a Google Plus game, but it was called Tri-City. It's just a puzzle game.
Is it Tri-City because it's three, or is it because you have to try a bunch of stuff?
It's three.
Okay.
And also you have to try a bunch of stuff. Okay. It's Experiment City. So there's like butt sex and PCP.
Yeah.
You turn two butt sexes into PCP. You turn two PCPs into a convent, which is weird.
Yeah, that's strange.
You get like three bears and you turn them into tombstones and you're like, whoa, man. And then the tombstones become a church, like right before your eyes. And then the church kind of swirls down into some grass.
Does it... Oh, okay. So if you had a line of tombstones...
Coke. Yeah.
Would it make one church or would it make multiple churches?
If you had a line of tombstones, it would. You only ever make one of anything. It's like this weird sort of variant on Match 3 where you put things down, and then if you put down a thing that makes a group of three, they will like upgrade into the next level of thing, and then those like three of those will upgrade into the next one, and three of those will upgrade into the next one.
Are these panels affected by gravity?
No.
Okay.
No, you're looking at like a map.
So it reminds me of a game I played that was similar, but it was vertically oriented like that, where you had like, I forget what they were. I want to say they were like pennies or something, and you match them up and they turn into nickels and so forth.
Huh. Now, this is like, you're just building a little city. It's just weird. It's got like stuff that you can unlock by, you can get better moves from moment to moment by spending these coins that you earn by playing game to game, but you can also buy for $10. And I just don't know. You don't have to spend $10. You can buy a bunch of them for a dollar. Like, for a dollar, you can buy one wild card for one move.
Wow.
Right? And it's just, it's silly. And I think, in a lot of ways, I think they do that marketing trick where the low price things are so obviously a bad deal that they only exist to make you feel better about buying the more expensive ones. Because who buys a dollar worth of stuff for a game? Like, oh, you know, I finally care enough about this game that I'm going to spend $1 on it.
That's the future of microtransactions.
Yeah, but those are supposed to be like a nickel. The whole reason that the word is microtransactions is because it was like, oh, imagine if you could pay like a fraction of a cent to get some advantage in this thing. You would totally do that. And then the person who did it, you know, the person running it, because they would have millions of people paying a fraction of a cent. Every time the bank does a transaction that involves interest, there's like a fraction of a cent on there that just gets rounded off. But if we kept all those, General Zod, you'd be able to buy like a super nice piece of glass to live in from now on.
Yep.
And then you can smash up your fax machine with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
I also played that Elder Sign game.
Yeah.
You played on your phone or your iPad?
I did. Both, actually. I bought both versions of it.
Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I could have. I think they didn't sell a universal one, was the problem. But I was like, you know, I would pay $10 for either of these because that's a pretty good game. I already bought a physical copy of it for a buddy of mine, Riff, for Christmas for, I don't know how much it cost. So it probably cost like $900 is what I'm going to say. So Riff thinks I spent a lot on Christmas present.
Early?
I didn't even bother wrapping it. Wow. He gave me my Christmas present, which was the Star Wars Lego Advent calendar like 3 months ago.
Wow.
As soon as it came to be a thing that existed. So I didn't feel bad. Like, hey, Riff, I got you this Christmas present. Play it with me. Okay. It's the Power Glove. It's so bad.
It's good. I like it. I liked it enough to dedicate my one Game Bits tackle box that I own to it.
You should get more tackle boxes.
I should.
I think that's it. What about you, Kevin?
So I wanted to delete the beta of Diablo 3 from my hard drive. So I played through the monk class for a bit. I don't like melee. I think that's what it comes down to.
Really?
Yeah.
I was totally looking at the monk as going to be probably my class.
Yeah.
I like melee.
I'm a barbarian.
I like sitting back and, you know, shooting arrows and stuff,
in an MMO,
casting spells and
in
stuff.
In an MMO, I like to play a ranged class, but in,
I mean, this is
in
a multiplayer game.
Diablo, I like, yeah, but it's responsive, right? Like, the reason that I think I like ranged classes in an MMO is because the fakey shit that they have to do to make it feel like you're actually interacting with the world in real time is a lot. The cracks show through a lot less when you're casting a fireball that takes a while to get there than when you actually have to like land a blow. It never feels like you're doing anything. Like if you do a melee swipe and you hit a guy in World of Warcraft, it just doesn't feel like anything is happening. Whereas if you cast a fireball, there's like the satisfying, like you see it travel, you see it explode on him.
But
you see some damage.
You're going to be playing Diablo 3 on a server anyway, so you're still interacting with server client relationship.
Yeah, but you're not being fed the data from thousands of other players. You're being fed the data from a handful of other players, and so it's like, I mean, Diablo is just way more responsive.
You're probably not being fed. You're not being fed thousands of other players in World of Warcraft either.
Diablo is way more responsive online than World of Warcraft is. You would not be able to do that kind of gameplay in World of Warcraft. I mean, the reason that there are cast timers and stuff is because, they can't do a lot of really immediate stuff in a way that's satisfying, that's visceral. And with Diablo 3, they, like, I don't even know how much of that is, like, I think some of it is just, like, checking in with Battle.net, or at least it used to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's there's way less data going across there.
Okay. Sure. I'm just not into, I think, melee classes. I think that's part of my...
The monk was weird. The monk did not feel like a monk. The monk felt like a crazy close-range lightning wizard.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. And then I finally broke down and played some Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
Because you guys would not shut up about this game.
Mm-hmm.
I felt... Last week when we went to the like pre-show dinner, I felt like you guys were speaking a different language entirely because you're like, yeah, I had the fartsicle and the like tabletop saw, so it was really easy. But then the next game I had no lollipops, so I didn't know what to do. And I was like, what are you guys saying? I don't even understand. So now I understand what chocolate milk is and... unicorn horns.
Good.
And stuff. So like the first time I played it, I beat the mom or whatever.
Fuck you, Kevin.
And then the very next time I got killed on the first boss, I was like, okay, so maybe this is
okay.
So maybe this game is hard. And then the next time I played, I just beat it. I beat mom for real, I guess.
You got those performance issues that makes it so the whole game is bullet time for you.
I mean, it's a little slower for sure.
Yeah, it's crippled.
Okay, it is, it's not like, so slow that
it's like total handicap mode. It's like
bothering me to play it.
I think that it would be bothering you if you weren't accustomed to playing all of your games in special ed mode.
It's possible. It's possible.
It was awful. It makes me kind of ill to watch things with a low frame rate. And it was, but also you used to play World of Warcraft at like 4 or 5
2 to 4.
Holy crap! What?
Yeah,
that's like slideshow.
It was pretty bad. I was trying to, it was only when I was raiding. Yeah, it was a mess. That's why I got a new computer primarily because that was just not able to hold
up. I got a new computer to play the Binding of Isaac, apparently, because that's all I ever do on it.
Yeah, it was, while I enjoyed it, it just felt like it was too random to really be fun for me. So I don't know. You know, I've been, the other game that I've been playing a lot of lately is Mage Gauntlet, and that is exactly the same every time, except for you get a slight variation on what spells you get, but the monsters are always in the same place and the layout's exactly the same.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And I feel like I can actually get better at the game.
I don't understand why you're still playing that.
It's, the writing is good. It it has continued to be good. I've been making progress, you know. I'm sort of only doing stuff where I get 3 stars per level, so it's definitely taking a while, but and the game just gets the difficulty curve getting on the other side of the like mountain. Those levels are 5 times as hard.
And you don't really, I guess you do sort of level up, but the leveling doesn't really do
much.
Yeah,
leveling doesn't seem to really help a lot. It's, your gear helps a little bit. I definitely started switching up gear to fight different kinds of enemies.
Like the skeleton killing sword.
No, there's
werewolf
like
killing sword.
There's like an axe that does a sword. Ton of damage, and then there's the sword that like heals you a little bit, and those are the 2 primary weapons I use. Yeah.
See, in Binding of Isaac, there's a million weapons.
Sure, including you have no idea what you're going to get.
Including the baby that makes all of your tears into bombs.
Yeah.
I got to my 5th win. I beat it the 5th time last night.
Nice.
What I want is to beat it 10 times to unlock that last dude, and then beat it with him so that I can unlock the dice thing that you get that lets you reroll all the items that you drop. Because then I think that makes every game a lot more...
Winnable.
I mean, it's like you get like even more of that fun.
So
it's a Skinner box.
Except for the like few handful of items that you have talked about and told me what they did. I just was playing the game with no knowledge and was not looking at a wiki and was just basically was like, oh, that's something that's new that I've not seen. I'll go ahead and buy that. And then was usually disappointed. And maybe that was one of the reasons that I didn't like the game as much, because I spent a lot of time being like, spending all of my coins on something that ended up being crap that I just left behind.
But I mean, that you've played the game like 5 times. And I would say the first 5 or 10 or 30 times I played it, I would also get items, realize what they did, and be disappointed by them. I mean, but that's part of the process of learning what the things do and getting better.
I guess.
I primarily will use a wiki to remind me of something. I was like, oh, I've gotten this before and I know what it does. I just don't remember.
I keep a list of what the tarot cards do.
A lot of the devil items looked pretty similar. Like, you know, they're like paper with blood on them and stuff like that.
One of them's a Ouija board.
Yeah, I got the Ouija board once. I got a contract or something. Something that looked like a contract.
Yeah, I don't remember what that does. The only devil item worth getting is the upside down cross.
Or the...
I don't think that's true.
Brimstone.
At all.
Brimstone is good.
Yeah. Brimstone was good when it was bugged. By itself, I found it too hard to use.
There was something that gave me a huge damage increase that was definitely worth it the time that I got it.
It depends on what he charges for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's either
one or
two.
If you can get a
hearts.
Couple damage increases.
No, sometimes you can get them for
pretty,
soul hearts.
It's pretty awesome.
I would always buy.
Charging it up before going into a door, and then as soon as you get in the next room, unleashing it and killing half the stuff in that room.
Yeah, but then if you didn't, like the fact that there was no real good visual feedback of when it was charged.
Sure there is. Your head flashes red.
Right, but if you're not looking at you, which you basically can't be if you're avoiding all of the shit that's on the screen.
When you first come into a room, though, there's nothing that's fired.
I know, but I'm talking about subsequent shots, like I just said. Subsequent shots.
Well, Riff was talking about coming into the room.
I know.
Okay.
But I'm giving a counterpoint by saying, sure, but then for subsequent shots,
Does it make your regular fire...
I got used to it pretty quickly.
Does it make your regular fire weaker or something?
You don't have regular fire anymore.
You have to charge.
You have to charge up. So you can only shoot every second.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And if you... Like, yeah, I don't know. It's...
The chocolate milk was definitely a huge game changer for me on the games that I got it.
Yeah.
I would rather have the thing that makes you shoot 3 tiers at once and reduces the frequency than the chocolate milk, because I don't like...
I think I probably agree. I didn't enjoy using chocolate milk much.
Chocolate milk was like, usually you killed something instantly upon entering a room, and then occasionally really hard enemies that you could guarantee a shot against, you could do pretty good.
Binding of Isaac, everybody play it. It's awesome. It's so good.
It's good. I probably would play again, but like... I think part of the problem is that the only computer I have is at work, and I'm not going to
play. You're not going to, like, stay at work to play Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
I was looking at it. It says that it does Steam cloud saving. So I was like, I could totally play this at work. It'd be great. But then it just doesn't.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. It like doesn't actually save anything to the Steam cloud.
Oh, so you tried it and it didn't have.
Yeah, I tried it and it was just like starting over at zero progress.
Wow.
Like, what I hope is that I didn't actually, I didn't just like overwrite my progress at home. I'm going to throw a fit. I'm just going to start over. Be like, wee! Binding of Isaac is fun! It won't take me nearly as many games to unlock if I had to unlock it again because I've gotten so much better at it.
So there are more characters besides the five?
Yes, that there's you see? One. There's one additional one.
Okay.
That I know of.
I unlocked all four of them in the first four games. Yeah,
that's super weird, and I don't understand why you're so good at video games.
I mean, I guess I was super lucky.
Bullet time. Computers, perpetual bullet time. You have the Mac OS advantage that just constantly hits like the Alt Tab key, so it just slows everything down.
Yep.
It's flickering and transparent. All right, that's what we've been playing. What's new, Kevin? What's in the news, Kevin?
Oh, Lego Universe shutting down.
Yeah, shutting down January.
Lots of people getting laid off.
That would make me sad. I mean, it makes me sad that people are getting laid off. I wish the game hadn't kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is frustrating that such a promising IP floundered when a game that is, you know, I've said this before and, you know, we've discussed it, but like a game that is kind of the spiritual Lego game, which is Minecraft, is out and doing really, really well. Right. So, yeah, you know, like Lego theoretically with more money to invest in and getting something off the ground, sort of floundering as bad as it did.
I mean, I think a lot of their problem was trying to make the gameplay like the Traveler's Tales Lego games, which I don't know that translates really well to an MMO.
Yeah.
A lot of it was in trying to make it super kid friendly, which meant that it was
you couldn't build anything in the world.
Simple. You couldn't build anything in the world. You didn't like really level up. Like
all
of your
gear.
Abilities and stuff was gear. Yeah, and it was just like
and there was no bank or anything, and your inventory space was incredibly limited, so you couldn't really carry around any variant gear to speak of.
Wow.
And all like almost every quest that was in any way major rewarded you with like a new hat or a new shirt. And what are you supposed to do with all of those? Because you can't carry them all with you. You
can
just
you
don't
have a house
that
or something.
No, there's no alternate storage. Huh. At least there wasn't when I played it.
I didn't realize that. I only played it during the beta.
Yeah. Same here.
So who knows? I mean, they might have changed it.
Maybe
after
they
that.
Changed
like,
that.
But I don't know. People are saying that this is like the first MMO to make the free to play transition and then fail. Had they made the actual free to play translation or transmission?
I heard that it went free to play, and that was a couple months ago.
Everything that I read though just talked about it having like a free trial, that they changed it to offer a free trial.
Huh. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it just it, like. I wanted it to be a game that was for me, but it just wasn't. Like, that combat was really, like, they were trying to do Zelda-style combat in an MMO model, which just wasn't going to work. It was
too jittery,
floaty,
and laggy,
And, you know, and a lot of their stuff relied on, I just remember a lot of, like, oh, go hit this button. It's like, okay, I'll go hit this button, but I have to build this button out of parts, but I just saw somebody come through here, so the button is now in this, like, quasi-built state, where it's acting like it's built, but it looks like it's not built. And since a lot of it was like, get up here as fast as you can. It's like, but you have to assemble this button to turn, you know, to press this button to turn off the flame jets so you can get through here. But you have to like wait for the button to reset from the last guy before you can build it and send it through. Like it didn't really lend itself to multiplayer play at all. It's like,
that's like bad level design and
it was an MMO
technology.
It was an MMO for no reason. Right. And so people didn't want to pay a monthly fee for it because there was no advantage of it. Yeah. Who knows?
Blizzard's been in the news a little bit.
There's that layoff thing that I think doesn't consist of anything. Even the original Joystick was originally reporting that and they were like, oh, yeah, it turns out no. And who knows if they're just saying that because that's what Blizzard told them to do. Blizzard's like, we're going to stomp on you guys if you don't publish some lies.
It would be weird.
We've always been at war with the new country that these 40 guys we just laid off are probably going to start.
I mean, I guess I feel like it would be weird for them to lay a bunch of people off, but I guess if their numbers have been declining somewhat, then.
But I don't think it would have anything. Their revenue hasn't been declining. I don't think it has anything to do with anything. But it just the internet rumor mill is just going apeshit.
But if you have fewer customers to support, then.
Yeah, but all the guys that they were talking about having been laid off were guys working on Titan. And so, I mean, if they were getting rid of guys on that project, it was probably just like a, all right, so we've decided to reevaluate the progress on this massive project, like which of these teams aren't working out
or whatever. We have finished a particular segment of the design and these people are no longer needed, you know?
Yeah, maybe Titan's coming out in a week.
Maybe it's already out.
The big Christmas surprise.
Maybe it's Google.
Google just got replaced with. So Titan was just, all right, so we make Google only exactly the same as Google is going to be in 5 years. So we catch up with them and then just replace them without anybody knowing it.
Yeah.
We take all their money.
Yeah.
Blizzard Google. They also, there was this post, which I was actually surprised by this because I have seen very little of this kind of stuff come from Blizzard's team. It was a post about what they are thinking about doing with itemization in the game because of the weird exponential functions that they've got that determine the strengths of weapons based on the item level of the weapon and how their pluses. And I noticed this playing, like, all of my gear has like plus 1800 spell damage on it or whatever.
They showed some theoretical tier.
Given this system, like this is what stuff will look like three or four expansions from now, and it's just like 60,004 armor,
or 200 and something thousand armor, and
plus 12,000 strength and play. And so they were like, well, we got two options. We can either start displaying the damage in like kilo damage and mega damage,
or pretty great.
we can just, because this is all formulaic and like. You know, I'm not saying that they could change a single number somewhere in the code and make this compress down, but they could basically, like, just divide every number in the game by 10.
Well, no, that's not what they were suggesting, though.
They were talking about just squishing it. They were reducing the damage that you do and reducing the hit points that all the mobs have.
Right, but only in a certain number of specific regions, right? Like, it was... So the expansion of gear or whatever was pretty linear until you'd get to...
A level cap for an expansion.
Right. And then so, like, just level like 60 gear spin. would like went exponentially up because the character advancement stops. So in order for it to be a compelling reward, you have to give them higher and higher numbers of gear. And something that was also pretty interesting was, like, to make the encounters so difficult that you need to farm an entire tier's worth of gear to then move on to the next encounter, basically, you have to have
pretty significant gaps between the numbers.
Yeah, and so then you start the next expansion and you have to ramp past that pretty quickly, and then you have another sort of really high curve.
Because otherwise the people who were hanging out at the level cap don't have anything fun to pick up in the new expansion.
Exactly, and so their theory was that they could then just compress all of those nearly vertical segments back down to the linear progression, and then only in the current expansion is.
People go... ape shit.
And their problem with that was that they people would go from having 150,000 hit points back to having like 15,000 hit points or something like that. And, you know, if some
people will feel like they've been nerfed, even though everything else is also doing, you know, right. 10 times less damage.
Yeah.
And people will complain about that. But I don't know, if people leave because of that.
They were talking, and this was interesting. They were talking that tanks were regularly hitting the numerical threat cap.
Right, which is like a 10-digit. They can't store any more than 10-digit numbers.
Yeah, or at least for this particular variable.
My main is, now that I actually got my deeps up to earn those jeeps, my crits on the main damage dealing skill that always crits, if I'm doing it right, are like 38,000 to 40,000 damage per hit, and that does not make the health bar on a boss move down noticeably. Like that one thing, right? So I mean, it is kind of crazy, but I mean, I don't care if all the numbers get smaller. And there's a lot of people posting on the posting responses to them that are like, yeah, make them smaller, we don't care, we're reasonable. But like, The kind of person that's going to post in there about being reasonable is not the kind of person who's going to be flipping their shit when all of their numbers are lower and there's no explaining.
I mean, I feel like the right choice is to just lower all the numbers and they deal with the backlash for 2 months and then it's over and then everybody's playing again.
Yeah, World of Warcraft is over, you mean. And something else has to come up and be the new MMO that everybody plays.
And then that MMO will have higher numbers.
You're saying they announced the PAX East dates?
Yeah, it's going to be April 6th to 8th, which happens to conflict with both Easter and Passover.
Are Passover and Easter always at the same time?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Looks like a lot of people will be electing to pass over PAX East, am I right? Maybe they should have done it Easter than East.
You know, like any convention, they are trying to take in a number of factors into consideration. And in Boston in particular, there's a bunch of other stuff that's annoying, like Boston Marathon and other conventions and stuff.
And the weather.
A
blue-collar police.
But it made me feel good because
constantly beating up MIT smartasses.
We are constantly being criticized for conflicting with holidays, particularly Jewish holidays. And I was like, we're not the only ones.
Why do the Jews do everything in September?
I don't know.
It's weird. How can we compete with that?
It sounds like the beginning to a riddle.
And then they ask us not to do any of our convention stuff on Saturdays because they're not allowed to turn the lights on. They're like, no, well, look, you can stay at the Motel 6. That way you don't have to deal with it. Anything else in the news?
I'm sure there is. I don't know of anything.
We're not a news show.
No.
Who cares? Assignment.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you guys think?
It seemed interesting, as much of it as I played before accidentally deleting all my progress.
You got to, like, the second day?
I got to disc 2.
I think that's the second day. Yeah. I think each day of the 3-day journey is one of the CDs in the game. I'm sorry that it was a thing that was such a pain in the ass to play on the Mac.
Yeah, sorry for anybody that tried to follow my online instructions to get it to work on the Mac and discovered that the version of Toast that I linked to, which I thought was a free version, turned out not to be free.
Yeah. But in fact, to cost $100.
Yeah.
So,
I feel really bad for anybody who paid $100 to play this game.
Yeah. I played it a little bit on the PC, and I got maybe an hour or two of play in. And I could definitely see spending some time playing it. There were long stretches where I was just kind of waiting for stuff to happen.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot of that.
Everybody goes to bed, so you can't get into anybody's room, and there's nobody to talk to, and what do?
You go to bed. I mean, you just go to bed. It says that in the manual.
Oh, does
like,
it?
Yeah.
I did not bother to read
it. I read the entire manual, and it explains a lot of interface stuff, and it talks about like the sort of like how you can rewind and do stuff, and then you've got this like grace period for going back to where you rewound from. You got to watch out for that. There are multiple save slots that are designated by what color the egg is.
How do you change the color of the egg?
You click on the top, and it says switch to a different color, like start a new game.
Okay.
And then you can, if you click on the top, a different part of the top, it's like go back to the blue game or go to a new game, which is, you know, the green game.
I read something on a forum that talked about how somewhere in the game there is a thing that looks like a decorative pattern but is actually an abstracted map of all of the locations in the train. Like a node map of it. I had a hell of a time doing anything that involved moving around in the train. Like
the doors kind of look alike.
Yeah, all the doors look alike. Every wall is just like the same sort of paneling. Like the only way that you can figure out which direction you're going in the train is like which side the windows are on.
Yeah.
Every time I tried to go out the door of a cabin, I went into the bathroom. And every time I tried to go into the bathroom, I went out the door.
Yep.
In other words, you got those two doors confused.
I could not distinguish between them, and I always picked incorrectly. I accidentally clicked a thing that ended the game because, whoops, pulled the alarm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, once I went to a place and a man screamed and the game ended because I got arrested for murder, and I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah, because you didn't actually go and check like, out the, you didn't see the dead body before you went to the dining car.
So you go up to the German man and he says, Herr Whitney, I presume. And you're like, no, I'm looking for him myself. And the German man says, I've had enough of this. I was like, of what? Like, why are you mad? And then he gets up and leaves. And then I followed him. And then someone got arrested for murdering someone. I'm like, what the fuck? Did I kill that German guy without knowing because he was rude to me in the dining car?
Yeah, you didn't know anything at that point at all.
Like,
wow.
And so, I mean, that was just like the first time I played the game. That's what happened. I was like, oh, that guy got up. I'm going to follow him. And then I just went into a room and he screams, and then there's some noise that plays that overwrites the first like 2 or 3 seconds of the girl's narration every time the game ends.
Huh.
And you also can't read it on the, it's in the shade of some shit in the picture.
It isn't important, really. It's like the end of a journal entry or whatever.
Right. It's, yeah.
So it's meant to sort of trail
but
in.
It's frustrating, is it? It's meant to sort of trail in.
Yeah, when you described your first experience of the game, I was really surprised because it was like there was this sequence where I was getting onto the train, which was like rotoscoped in such a way that there was like one frame every second, and I was like, okay. And then two minutes later, there's a conductor who walks down the hall that is like 12 frames a second of rotoscoping.
Like really, really smooth and you're like, painstakingly animated. Like, why did they choose?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it was whatever they had the space for, right?
You're going to see the conductor move all the time. And that train, getting on the train is a single thing that you see once.
Yeah. I don't think that somebody would make a game that looked like this on purpose. I think that it was technological constraints that led to. Also, how the fuck did this game cost $5 million to make?
Salaries. They had like 40 people working on it for 5 years. I mean, it seems pretty obvious to me that you could spend a bunch of money doing something like this.
Sure. I mean you could.
They probably had to pay that actor that did the conductor a lot of money to sit there and read that same magazine for hours and hours and hours.
I think the filming stuff cost $1 million, and then they also scanned all the film and then had a whole team of artists like rotoscoping random frames of it.
Yeah, random frames, that's a weird method.
Yeah.
But clearly the result of rotoscoping was random frames.
You know, like they had to develop AIs, which probably wasn't, you know, the cost expensive stuff, but like it's probably pretty complicated.
Yeah. I'd like to read about how the game works, but, it's interesting, it's ambitious, and it's not fun. That, I think, is the...
Did you ever play, like, the Seventh Guest games or whatever?
I did.
The other CD mystery games? Were they
Seventh Guest was similar? Like a bunch of shitty puzzle games mixed into a sort of a Myst backdrop. I played Myst and liked it, and it has navigation that's similar to The Last Express, but it's like, I kept, like... It was like, oh, monsieur, dinner is served. Sit down here. And it's like, okay, so am I sitting? Like, now I can see the back of a dude.
Yeah, you're sitting. Yeah.
So I'm sitting, but you never get dinner.
Yeah, no, you never do.
They never bring you dinner. You can't look at the table. You can't see the table.
It's very limited.
Table.
It's weirdly limited in the stuff that you can look at and interact with.
Yeah, I kept wanting to interact with that group of 4 people at the table.
Yeah.
And you never can.
And the girl and her grandpa... who keep talking about the Bible, and those 2 ladies who are talking about how they want to sex you up, and you're like, yeah, this game's about to get good, but then you just can't actually talk to them. But then, so it seems like in the dining car, there are 3 locations that you can be in, one of which is maybe you're sitting at a table or not, but in one of the compartments, there are like 90 different ways to look at the ceiling.
I was assuming that was going to be important later, but I don't know if that's true.
Yeah,
it is like that they had like 20 extra views of this room that weren't necessary, and I don't know what that was all about.
I mean, maybe in various incarnations of that room, because there are like the majority of the game takes place in 12 identical little rooms.
Yeah, I think
rooms,
they just
right?
copied all of those directions that you can face for every room.
Okay.
Because like
there's
in
usually nothing up there. It's like there's a bunch of stuff you can look at in the bathroom and there's nothing there, but maybe somebody else's bathroom has some stuff
exactly.
in it.
Exactly. Because like you can find... You can find
all sorts of
Trevor or Whitney's or whatever the dead guy's name is. His suitcase you can find.
It's up top. Yeah. You find like there's like a scroll that looks like it was drawn in Sharpie on top of a 3D rendered.
It's a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm. You can get the Russian girl to translate it for you, but I crashed before I was able to pick it up.
there is... Okay, during that... In opening animation thing, there's a second where you see the train passing in front of like a forest or like some trees at least, and everything is drawn and it looks really good. And I was like, I wonder if the rest of the game is going to look like this. And then no, it's like everything else is that weird sort of like
that sort of early
texture,
early like super dithered
rotoscoped stuff.
Well, they did their like 3D, like ray traced stuff, right? Super, like they ray traced all the scenes and then rendered them in like just shit palette. Like that is the era of games where a lot of the games that people regard as being really good video games on the PC, it, in my mind, just all sort of look like shit. Like the fidelity wasn't there to actually represent a real environment, but
I never liked Myst. You know, I didn't play it until many years later.
Myst did sort of look like shit. I have to agree, but it was like a shitty representation of cool enough stuff that I got really into it.
There was like a little bit of pixel hunting in Myst, and there was like I felt like there was some in Last Express too, because like finding that scarf, like I feel like that would be really easy to overlook.
Yeah, I did find that though.
I found it too. I glanced at a walkthrough, and I think if you don't pick it up on the first day, you automatically get it when you wake up on the second day.
Huh. Okay.
Hmm. Is that scarf belong to the Africans in the back car?
It's unclear.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
mean, I was like, oh, this scarf has an insignia on it. I wonder if I'm supposed to know what that insignia is.
There's only one person on the manifest that has a W last name, but you confront her about it and she denies it. And I asked her twice and she said no both times. So clearly she must be telling the truth.
Yeah. Because you can't lie.
But she was the one.
Was the second time in a pool with Brian Wilson?
She was the one that came out of that compartment right as you get on the train.
Yeah.
So.
She was just having sex with the corpse.
It's possible.
Yeah. If you read the magazine, if you flip to like the magazine has the register in it, but it also has some stuff in the back. And there's an article about legendary corpse fucker.
Oh.
And then that woman's name. She's on a corpse fucking tour of Europe.
Everyone did seem to be really impressed with her.
Yeah, everybody was like, "Don't die, she'll fuck you." That's why she rebuffs all of your advances too, right?
Because you're alive.
Yeah. I had to consult a walkthrough to figure out how to win that first fight.
I was confused as well.
You were stuck there until I explained it to you.
Yeah.
After having consulted, but then in the walkthrough, I accidentally read ahead and saw how to avoid the police.
Yeah.
I spent a really long time with no idea of when the police were outside of my room, because it's like there's a bunch of like muffled voices.
I had that I had a similar situation. For a slightly different reason, I used a different method to get rid of the body that results in the police not arriving.
Right, you put the body on the bed instead of throwing it out the window.
But in that case, you have to wait around in your room so you can tell the conductor not to make your bed.
Right.
Yeah, I put him in the bed the first time and then just lost the game, so I assumed that was the wrong thing to do.
Hmm.
Huh.
It is. You can do it either way. And if you leave the body, if you stash the body in the bed, then there is a later opportunity to fully get rid of it that is safe.
Huh.
But you get that bonus scene at the end where that woman fucks the corpse.
Right.
Which you don't get if you've thrown it out the window.
Yeah.
Because it's just the gendarmes fucking it.
Also, geez, man, spoilers.
I mean, nobody's ever going to play this game. I kind of want to watch a walkthrough.
Yeah, I would like to watch a Let's Play of it where the guy really knew the game well, but pretended not to, and so sort of played through it three or four times in succession the way a real person playing it would.
Yeah, how long does it take?
I think that would be interesting. I don't know.
It's like 3 days of game time, sped up 6x, and then you also cut out sections where you sleep. So it's probably, if you didn't have any rewinding or whatever, it'd probably be like 3-ish hours.
All right. What are we doing next week?
I think we're going to do something totally different and play Farmville.
Yeah.
Because I've talked about it a lot, but never actually played it. So I think it is, it's something that...
Time to make a fake Facebook account.
Yeah. I think I am going to make a gaming Facebook account.
They'll cut it out.
Which is fine.
They'll delete it.
I don't care.
That shit's against the law.
It's not against the law.
Facebook is in charge of the government now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Then maybe it is against the law.
It's a confederacy of Zuckerbergs.
Yeah, I think I'll try to make a new account.
Also the United States is now soon. Known as Zuckerberg.
And then I will try to post that information in the forum so that everybody else can make their fake accounts and we can all play as a social experiment together.
I'm just playing on my real account. I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
All of my friends are going to be like, what the fuck? You're playing Farmville? I'm like, yeah. You think nuclear power is a bad idea. Which of us is stupider? I hate Facebook. I hate Facebook and all my friends. Yeah. I love you guys, but man, all my real friends. Hey guys, how about some video gamesman's mail?
Oh, okay. Gamesman's mails.
Duke Garland writes in the tweeters, Jick, thank you for your method of dealing with the Master Theorem. It helped me free a lot of Thursday morning time. I don't know. My method is to mostly ignore it anymore. Yeah. If you can't solve it in 10 minutes, just give up.
I'm excited that it, because of the daylight savings time change that Arizona ignores, I now have like an extra hour during the day to not worry about it. But I have to stay in the office till 10 to finish it now, though. But
yeah,
whatever.
Well, you should just keep working. It's good for you.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Me, the bottom line. I've changed my name to the bottom line. So they called me on my softball team.
What about the thin bottom line?
Ira Glass, I think, disclaimer, not really Ira Glass, writes, I keep hoping that when you get high enough leveled and glitch, there's some twist that makes the game all dark and have enemies. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're philosophically opposed to combat.
Yeah, I wonder. There was a quest early on in Glitch where you got to collect a bunch of coins that improved your mood, maybe? Mm-hmm. And you had to get 30 of them. But if you failed, you just got dumped back out. And then you could try it again. And I was like, by solving this quest, am I
as far as
eliminating a resource?
When I played during the beta, those coins exist everywhere, but you can only collect 100 of them a day.
Sure, but this is like all one type of coin that if what you want is to collect a bunch of mood or whatever it was.
You just can't turn off your dirty exploiter mood. They talk about, I read some article about Glitch where they talk, oh man, this is no good.
What's on?
Got some stupid ads popping up. I hope this laptop isn't riddled with spyware. Although it was a Sony ad and it's a Sony laptop. This could just be some Sony bullshit. It's like, hey, it's been a while since we got your money for this shitty laptop.
What was the Glitch article?
Oh, he was talking about how they have to work really hard to eliminate tedium from shit because people will just do boring things over and over again if it provides numerical superiority.
I mean, I don't see how they're doing it because that was definitely how I felt like the game.
I think other people have a different threshold for that kind of thing than you do. You are the guy who will stab yourself in the eye for 11 points when having sex with the prom queen is only worth 10.
That's one extra point.
I know. Oh no, another putt says, Blocks the Manor is a surprisingly fun game. I expected to play it once and ignore it, but I keep going back to it. Go play it. All right, I'll download it and give it a try.
Do they really matter, though?
I don't know. One of them is made of chocolate, and some of them are sand. I saw that there was a Terraria update since the last time I ran it on my work computer. I might check Terraria out again. I had a lot of fun playing Terraria.
Yeah,
I felt like I was done, but if there was more stuff to explore now, maybe you can go to space. Or maybe you can go to, like, double hell. It's like where...
Super hell.
It's where hell goes to when it is bad and dies. Talenzi writes, I know it's a bit after Halloween, but scariest video game you've ever played? That fucking Amnesia game, man.
Oh, that was pretty bad. First Fatal Frame game fucked my shit up pretty bad. I couldn't play that. I had to take it back to the store.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh. You said that you were really scared playing Alone in the Dark after reading some Danielle Steele novel.
No. just Alone in the Dark was, you know, back in high school, so you know, 25,000 years ago, was super scary. And then I had just read a Whitley Strieber book called Communion. That was about alien abduction. And then I was like halfway through Star Control 2 and started playing that some more and found the Aralu subspace dimension and was freaked out. So, yeah. I don't play scary video games in general.
Yeah, me neither.
Bad for my health.
I think that text adventure of The Shining was pretty scary to me when I was a kid. I don't think that was real.
The Duke Nukem 3D level of The Shining was pretty scary.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, somebody like did a map hack or whatever and put in all the textures.
There was a level editor. Creepy. There was a level editor 3D in Duke Nukem 3D that I spent a summer building a bunch of stuff in. It was neat.
Benjamin Lewis writes an email. Hi, your opinion on the character designs in Psychonauts was interesting. Do you feel the same way about the character design of the Homestar Runner cast? I think I don't, because the Homestar Runner characters are not grotesque. They don't have like teeth sticking out at weird angles and stuff. Let's see. This guy is telling me, who is it? Yeah, Yusheng Weijiang. This guy is not nearly as fast as Willy Zhang.
Well, maybe he's twice as fast, so he's, you hear him coming and going.
Yusheng Weijiang?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Video Games Hot Dog. I just got The Binding of Isaac and played it for a little while today. I remember overall everybody thinking it was a really good time. I find it a little weird because I remember Zach saying he never wanted to play Super Meat Boy because he heard it was really hard. I'm not very good at it, having only beaten the main game but not 100%ing all the content and not trying to beat any of the levels in Cotton Alley. That must be a place. But I think you should at least try it if you're worried about it being too hard. I've personally been much more frustrated at the difficulty in Binding of Isaac because of a lot of the design decisions of the game. In particular, the randomness really gets to me. Your shots have a fairly random spread, making fighting things extremely annoying at times because you'll be running away from shots and shooting back at something and you just won't hit them.
They're,
I'm
going
to interject and say they're not actually. Your shots are
just
not
they
random.
Just have momentum.
They have momentum, and if you've got to learn...
You have to learn how to control.
That's part of getting good at the game, is learning how to shoot where you want it to go.
Yeah.
The whole idea of random maps isn't something that really bothers me, but this execution in particular kind of does. Spelunky is similar, and I definitely don't feel the same way about Spelunky as I do about this game. In it, there are two limited resources, bombs and ropes, that you need to access things, but I never felt frustrated that the game didn't even give you a chance to have enough of them like I do in Binding.
Yeah, I feel like there's not a good logic on constraints. Like, there's definitely places on the first level that are just impossible to get to.
Sure, but I don't know that I really feel like the game has a responsibility to make all of those rooms accessible. Right. I mean, because you could, under different luck circumstances, have gotten to them.
Well, right. But you could also, the game could also have built it such that there was a way to get everything on the first level if you wanted, if you were careful.
Yeah, but also.
But I mean, so you could. I mean, you could just put a treasure chest. You could just put a treasure chest in the starting room that has three bombs and three keys in it. But, like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
Okay. But, like, it changes it from being a puzzle that is solvable to a thing where, especially the first couple of times you play through it, you're like, okay, there's a chest over there that I just can't get to, and you don't know if you're missing something or what, right? Like, you know, like, once you've played 100 games, then sure, it's easy to accept there's just some stuff that you can't get
to. Right, but it is a game that is meant to be replayed 100 times, right? Like, that's...
that doesn't help you the first couple of times you play it, right? Like... You don't necessarily even know that that's what the game is, right? Like, they don't tell you that. It's like, don't worry about it. If you don't like the game at first, you'll love it on your 100th playthrough, because that's, like, that's a bullshit piece of advice, right?
Well, maybe that's why they don't tell you that. I mean, like...
Okay, so then I think it is still valid to say the first couple of times you play it and there's stuff that you can't get and you, like, don't know why, that's a frustrating feeling. And I could see someone being like, yeah, fuck this.
Sure.
And it's random bullshit.
Right. I mean, you know, like, it's hard.
It's not hard. It's impossible. There's a difference, right? Right. Hard is when you have exactly enough resources to collect everything, but if you do even a single thing wrong, you can't get everything. And that's hard. And that's kind of interesting to me.
Sure, I guess.
Right? Like, why put a chest in a corner if you have no bombs, right? Or if it's surrounded by three layers of rock and you have a single bomb or whatever, right? Like... And that was the only one on the level.
Right. I mean, it doesn't tend to do that. The selection algorithms for rooms and stuff tend to give you things that you have a reasonable chance of having the tools at your disposal to get through.
Sure.
But not always. I mean, I don't think that there's necessarily something wrong with putting a room in a level that you may or may not be able to get the thing that's in the room. Right? I mean, yeah, it's frustrating, but, like, it's also frustrating when a boss is hard.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, I can see you arguing that that's frustrating in a more fair way.
Yeah.
He goes on to say a bunch of stuff like, I have a single key and go into a room with a locked door and a treasure chest. And if I open the door, I can't get another key. Or when I get a scroll to read and have no clue what it does and I use it with almost full life and it heals me to full, it just feels unfair and stupid. I mean... Sure. I feel like if more people played NetHack, there would be fewer people saying, like, this game is bullshit and unfair and too random. It's like, no, this is a game that is designed to sort of reward persistence and knowledge and learning its quirks, and its quirks are often very punitive. You know, I mean, like, NetHack sucks because I keep fucking starving to death. Like, no, NetHack is a game where you need to learn what shit you can eat so that you don't starve to death. You know? My girlfriend was getting really upset playing World of Warcraft. She's like, this sucks. I keep getting killed. I'm like, well, you should maybe try not to aggro 8 dudes at the same time. I mean, like, that's, it's a game, right? So, like, if there's no fail condition, like, it's not, it, then it's just a series of tasks that you have to perform. And I don't know, man. So there are definitely some chinks in the way that the randomness can create a gameplay experience for the first couple of times in The Binding of Isaac, but I think the just, like, sort of joy of exploration that it creates,
yeah, I was definitely puzzled the first couple of times I played through where I would see, like, a key surrounded by pits. And, like, even if I had... And sometimes there's no rocks nearby to blow up and make a bridge. So I had just no idea how that was even going to be possible to get. But, I mean...
Then you get flying or you get a ladder.
Yeah, then you find out that the ladder and transcendence and things like that exist. And it... I mean, things like that that are obstructed in that way are... They're never vital things to have. And you just kind of get used to it being the game's kind of taunting you a little bit, and you just kind of take it in good humor.
He continues, is this just a personal bias against randomness, or do you think there's actually design merit in making a game feel rewarding without having randomness? I mean, I think there's room in the world for all kinds of games.
Yeah.
Like super unforgiving, random, hard ones where... Sometimes you get this amazing combination of things that makes you feel really awesome and you just beat the game effortlessly. And sometimes it's like, fuck, this is hard and sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that there is tremendous, I mean, I obviously think that there is tremendous replay value in the game owed entirely to the fact that it can be so many different games all at once. And I mean, at some point, like, if you made sure that the first level was always designed so that you can get everything on the first level, then you're going to have to move those chances to the second level. Otherwise, what you've done is just crank the difficulty way down, right? So then, oh, it's unfair on the second level that there's more.
No.
Or you're saying you generate every level with no more locks than keys.
Yeah.
And, but then you can't.
Potentially.
Getting lucky on a slot machine no longer means anything. Right? Like, because getting lucky on a slot machine means, ah, sweet, I got lucky, so now I can try going into this other room and see if there's anything in there that lets me go into one of these other rooms that's locked. And if you don't, you're like, ah, guess I'll try the next level.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've got the same opportunities again, but they're harder as a result of my bad luck earlier. Let's make the most of this. Let's see what I can do.
Do I use my single bomb to blow up one of these two rooms that could be the two places where the secret room is? Or do I use it to get to this chest that may or may not have another bomb inside?
Right, or may have 3 bombs in it. Or
exactly.
It may have some other keys, but I don't need keys. And it might have hearts and I'm not damaged. Like, it's, you know, learning to play the percentages on that stuff. Like, played a game last night and I beat it largely because I read about how those blood machines work. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm in a situation where I can use this blood machine until it blows up and gives me an extra hit point. And that extra hit point made a huge difference in my survivability from then on. It's like, I didn't know that before. So this was a way in which bringing knowledge in.
Does the slot machine sometimes blow up and give you a dollar?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that about the same kind of situation as the
blood
machine?
I've used a slot machine 50 times and not had it blow up and give me a dollar.
What does it drop? Does it drop just other coins, or
you can get coins out of it, which
coins,
are sometimes a nickel,
keys,
sometimes a quarter. You can get keys, you can get bombs,
pills,
you can get hearts,
bombs,
and pills,
and the pretty fly.
Oh,
so you have played the game primarily as Kane,
yes.
Which one of the whole points of that character is that it eliminates some of the randomness,
right? But it does so by giving you fewer hit points.
Okay.
And making it more,
so making it harder,
it more,
but...
of a more of a skill based thing and less of a luck based thing, which I like.
Okay.
But
all right. That was kind of the point. That's kind of the whole point that I've been saying. It's like I would prefer the games I play to be more skill based and less luck based.
All right.
That's all, right?
Like, you don't have to love Binding of Isaac the way that I do.
I guess
there's not enough holes anyway.
It's interesting where everyone's coming down on this, because like there are definitely people that are like dissatisfied with it and people that are like in love with it, and it's interesting how divisive it is, I guess.
I don't think there's anybody saying like left field sucks. Fuck the front row. Fuck the back row. We fucked you first. it's you know, we're getting all Rocky Horror up in this place. Yeah. Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a glistening mail, how would they do it?
Twitter works
at VG Hot Dog.
Yeah. Email
VG Hot Dog at gmail.com.
And you can check out the website, which leads to the forums,
videogameshotdog.com.
And if you want to check out the entire family of Hot Dog podcasts,
hot.dogdog.dogdog.hotdognet.com.
Yeah, that's how.
Well, fun show. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great week, everyone.